Welcome to Above Par. I'm your host, Kathy Hartwood. I show you how to take more of your talent to the golf course without practicing harder, taking more lessons, or buying new equipment. I show you how to end the frustration of underperforming so you can start playing to your potential. This is where you are going to learn how to think above par so you can play below par. Let's get to it. Hi, my golf friend, and welcome back to Above Par. I'm super happy that you're here and listening. So I have a special podcast today. I had my brother, Dudley Hart, who was a former tour player, played on the PGA Tour his whole life, then the Champions Tour, and now he is an assistant coach at the University of Florida and helped lead them to a national championship last year. So we talked a lot about what he implemented relative to practice, scoring, course management, to help the kids get to a national championship. And so he shares a lot of details in that in my membership. But what I wanted to do here was give you a little clip that I thought was really insightful about course management and the mindset of course management and club selections. And it's an example that he talked about playing in the Senior British Open with his son, who currently plays at the University of Florida, who was his caddy at the time, and how they saw the hole differently and how Dudley decided on how he was going to play that hole ahead of time. And at the end of this example, I share with you three ways that I thought the information that he shared was going to be really impactful and valuable for you. So without further ado, here is Dudley, my brother, sharing his insight on course management at the Senior British Open. But the other thing that you're really, really good at, Dudley, and I know this is a lot of, did you see how I almost threw up in my mouth? Like, two compliments, like in the last 40 minutes. Okay. The other thing that you're really good at is course management. Whenever you and I would play together with, let's say, somebody else, I think of most often, I think at Calusa Pines, which is in Naples, and is a very challenging course to know where to put your ball. And it's so important to know where to leave yourself. And you're really good at explaining to people on where to hit it to a point where sometimes they look at me, they're like going, there's no way. Does he know that I'm happy if I just make contact right now? Where you're like, hit it 10 feet to the right of the pin, like just short. He's like, I'm trying not to fat it. But with that being said, in my opinion, I'd be curious to hear what your spin is. I know, because I've been with you enough to know what you say to the kids, that you're kind of shocked at the way that they make just quote unquote, I'm going to say dumb. There's a difference in my mind between a dumb mistake and one where we're not thinking clearly. Like, I don't even know why I did that. I wasn't in my own head. Other ones where we just weren't even paying attention. So short-sighting ourselves, trying to hit shots that we don't own, putting it up next to the green. I was thinking of that one hole where all the kids could drive it. And then they were over on the short side. They short-sighted themselves on the left side of that green, which is an impossible up and down, so that they could drive it almost to the green. But then you said you watched one tournament where the kids were all get up there and make six because they're just going back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which would be so much smarter if they played it back in the fairway and then, you know, hit a shot up onto the middle of the green. Or if that spot, which you demonstrated, was hit to the fat part of the green and give yourself that 35-foot putt and get the heck out of there and cut your losses. The other part of that story, and I tell this story because you told it to me relative when you played in the British Open or the Irish Open. I don't know what you played in. And Ryan came in.
Yeah.
And you want to tell that story? I'm talking about the one with the par three, because about the sand. I have a thing about hitting it into certain length bunkers I talk about all the time. But go ahead and tell this story, because this is, again, course management, where his brain is thinking one thing and your brain is thinking another.
Well, this was more of a tee shot thing that I'm thinking of at Royal Living in St. Anne's at the Senior British. So my son Ryan was going to caddy for me, but he had a tournament of his own at home. And I was out with all my girls, and it was a blast because my girls all took turns caddying for me in a practice round, and they don't know a lot about golf, but it was awesome to spend time with them in my environment. But anyway, Ryan came in on Wednesday afternoon, flew in, and so we go out on Thursday to play, and the first hole at Royal Lytham is a par three, and the second hole is about a 460-yard par four with a couple bunkers. Royal Lytham has the fairway bunkers and links golf are generally bad to be in, but Royal Lytham is really bad. And they might as well be small little lakes because it's pretty much chip out sideways if you hit it in them. So you got to try to plan the best you can to stay away from them. And anyway, the second hole, wind blown left to right every day and was supposed to blow left to right all week, according to the weather forecast. And there was a railroad track, like a lot of courses in Scotland, they have train tracks all over the place. And And the train track was literally 20 yards off the fairway, and it was out of bounds. And there was a stand of a few trees, a little bit of rough, and I'm just trying to set this scenario for you here. But anyway, there were two bunkers on the right that were like about 250 or 60 to carry, which I could carry. But more importantly, there were two bunkers down the left that ate into the fairway a little bit. So it's cut the fairway down that for about 310-ish, 300 to 310, if I remember right. And the ground's really firm. So my driver is most likely going to get to those bunkers, which means that when I'm playing that hole, if I want to hit driver and stay out of that bunker, I got to aim it more into the middle of the fairway. And my miss, I'm a fader. The wind's blowing left to right. And my miss is a push fade. So I don't, not that I never miss it left, but my tendency is if I don't hit it perfect, it's probably going to go in the right rough, or within that scenario where I'm aiming it, I'm probably going to hit it in the railroad tracks if I don't hit it perfect. And so I'd already made the decision in the practice round on Tuesday, actually, that I am not getting to those two bunkers straight away. So I'm going to hit, and the left rough was really thin, wispy. You know, sometimes over there, it looks really bad on TV, but it was, I could have hit a 3-wood out of it and short of that bunker. So I wasn't afraid of pulling it a little bit and leaving it. As long as I stayed short of those left bunkers and right of the ones that were in the right half of the fairway, I'm going to have a 5-iron, 4, 5, 6 iron into that green, which was a lot, but I didn't care. The trouble for me, the uncomfortable part for me, was that tee shot. So anyway, long story short, Ryan, we get out there and start, I don't know what I made on number one, but we get on number two, and I brought a driving iron over, a long, hot 2-iron with a metal shaft that I couldn't hit very well off the ground, but it was mainly I brought it over to use it off the tee for scenarios like this. And I pull that 2-iron out, and Ryan doesn't know the golf course, and he's looking at the hole sign that says 460, and I don't hit it as far as him, and he's thinking, why am I not hitting driver? And I jokingly said, and this shows the issues I might have mentally, but it popped in my head like that. I said, Ryan, I already made a decision that if I hit it in those bunkers down the left or I hit it on those railroad tracks, I'm going to walk over on those tracks and wait for a train to run me over because I'm not doing it. And I did not like that hole. I was not going to let that hole beat me. I knew it was going to be a hard hole for everybody. And I figured if I played that hole one over, I would walk from the first green to the third tee if they'd let me, and for 4 days. And luckily, I actually played it one under. And because I just hit it in the fat of the green 4 times, and two times I had pretty good putts at it. And I made 120 footer, and I finished that hole one under. So that's one of the struggles I have with our guys, probably because I wasn't good at it at that age either. They're all really good at golf, a little bit cocky, think they're really good, think they can hit every shot, and they can hit every shot. It's just understanding when you're uncomfortable, and it's okay to be uncomfortable, and it's okay to take a pass. Doesn't mean you play for a bogey necessarily. I just said, listen, I'm going to make birdie. I'm going to try and make birdie here, but I'm going to have to make it with a 4, 5, or 6 iron, and I might have to make a 25 or 30 footer. Which I'm okay with. On a really hard hole, I was fine with that, because really one of the tricks in becoming a high level golfer is to make less bogeys. It's not like you're going to make 7 to 9 birdies every day to shoot low scores. Make less mistakes. And it's part of making less mistakes is understanding and having the discipline when you either on a certain day, you may not feel like you can hit that shot where normally you can, or you just don't like a scenario. And you know, certain guys may play that hole that draw the ball and they're like, this is perfect for me. I'm going to aim it in the right center of the fairway and hit the biggest draw I feel like I can up against that wind and it'll be fine. They might not have a problem with it. I didn't like it. And I just took a pass before the tournament started.
Yeah. So some of the things that I'm just going to share to reiterate that you said, and there are a lot of good points. One is that I think a lot of players just get into this mentality. It's driver, hit whatever you can, get it down there into the shortest distance. And next thing you know, they have this big number where they're not thinking ahead about there's more than one way to go from point A to point B on a hole and still make the same number. And doing what you mentioned, what you're comfortable with, gives you the best opportunity to make a good swing versus what you're uncomfortable with. So it's like, if you're standing on the tee box, and I don't like the tee, I don't like the shot, I'm not comfortable, the chances of you making a bad swing go astronomically up. Mm-hmm. And so you're putting a club in your hand that you're like, I feel comfortable with this. I also know that I'm going to hit a longer club in. So I'm kind of cutting my losses, which means you're thinking ahead of your future self. So you're planning for the next hole. I don't want to stand on that next tee tee box with, I call it red ass, like you're pissed off that you just made a big number and shouldn't have got there. And then the third thing that I want everybody to hear is how he's a tour player, played tour his whole life, and he's planning on his misses, right? Which is, you said, I don't have a problem if I pull it a little bit. I know my miss is a little bit of a fade. Sometimes it's a push fade. Like, he's not saying that it's shocked that he has misses. He knows he doesn't hit them all perfect. He's not saying that he's going to get really pissed off or disappointed that he pulls it a little bit or pushes a little bit. It's like that. This goes into expectations, which I talk a lot about. We have to have our realistic expectations, and you knowing your swing on what you do helps set you up to make some of those better swings and planning your strategy on the hole. I know you run into a lot of kids who have really super high expectations for themselves where they think they shouldn't miss any shots or miss any fairways or admit even that sometimes I pull the ball, sometimes I push the ball, not a problem.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think they probably down deep, like I would have thought, probably at the same age, that you're admitting weakness or you're admitting you're afraid of something. And you don't really have to look at it that way. It's just learning from what your tendencies are. And that goes from what your miss is standing on a tee box, on a flat tee box. What are your tendencies when the ball's below your feet and the pin is left and you've got to hit an easy shot? What are you going to do? You know, the book kind of says that typically when the ball's below your feet, the ball will fade or go to the right. Okay, well, that's true when I hit a shot easy. If I'm feeling like I have to hit an easy eight iron off of that, I typically do that. But if I'm hitting one, like if I'm trying to hit a full nine iron, I try not to say hard. I just don't love saying hard. I don't want to swing harder than I have to, but like a very full nine iron, I pull it. I pull it off that lie because the heel catches a little bit more and the toe closed down. And I know I do that. So if I'm deciding I'm going to hit a full nine iron when the ball's below my feet, I'm going to shift my target, my start line to the right 3 to 5 yards because I'm going to hit on a good shot. I'm going to pull it 3 to 5 yards. And on a bad one, I'm probably going to pull it more than that. So shifting where you aim the ball. And that's another tendency that we try to make guys. And not everybody is going to have that same reaction. It's how you deliver the club to the ball has a lot to do with that. But being aware of that. So you have to do those things over and over and over again, those kind of learning things of those scenarios and those tendencies, so he can make a more informed decision when he's on the golf course. Doesn't mean you can make all the right decisions in the world. And sometimes you just don't execute because you're a human being and the ball ends up where you don't want it. But you just have to know that. Statistically speaking, if I do X, it's going to do this. If I do Y, it's going to do this, and try to make the best decision.
And not thinking that you're broken. I think a lot of amateurs think that because they pulled the ball, they have to fix something. Like, I'm going to go take a lesson because I just pulled it, right? It's like, no, sometimes it's the lie. Sometimes it's just what you do. We don't want to chase things that aren't broken. So the language that you're talking about, a lot of amateurs think that, well, I pulled it, so there's something wrong with me, versus your example, sometimes I pull it off of these lies. And there's more of an acceptance there versus feeling like there's something broken. Because the minute you start thinking that you're broken somewhere in the middle of the golf course, you're going to struggle the rest of the way around.
Not good.
Okay, so there you have it. I hope you found that helpful. Some really good information that you can use when you go out and decide on what clubs to hit, how to play holes, knowing what your tendencies are, and understanding your misses. And if you're not already on my email list, make sure you join me at kathyhartwood.com/join so you can know about all and any upcoming workshops. All right, have a beautiful week. I'll talk to you next Wednesday. Bye.